Chapter 19. Footprints. In the most secluded of the Executrix's several tactical rooms, Tarkin closed myriad programs running on the immense battle analysis holotable and entered a restricted Imperial code that tasked the projector to interface with the holonet. He then submitted himself to a series of biometric scans that allowed him to access a multitude of top-secret Republic and Imperial databases situated on Coruscant. He had already issued orders that he was not to be disturbed, but he double-checked that the door had sealed behind him and that the tactical room's security cams were offline. He called for the illumination to dim, set himself atop a tall castered stool within easy reach of the table's complex controls, and allowed his thoughts to unwind. The Star Destroyer was holding at Obroa Sky, awaiting redeployment orders from Coruscant now that the Emperor had given Vice Admiral Rancid command of the task force created to capture or destroy the Carrion Spike. Only a few hours earlier, the dissidents had attacked an Imperial facility at Noane, a client state system in the Inner Rim. To Tarkin, the dissidents' choice of targets seemed as illogical as would have been their showing up at Obroa Sky. But with major systems becoming so heavily reinforced, perhaps the choice merely reflected the fact that their options were dwindling. At Noane, the rogue ship had been prevented from inflicting serious damage and had nearly become a fatality. The win had gone to Rancid, who through a painstaking process of elimination had predicted where the Carrion Spike would strike and had dispatched a flotilla in advance of the corvette's arrival. Even stealth had failed to allow the corvette to evade a continuous onslaught of long-range lasers. From what Tarkin had been given to understand, there was good reason to believe that the Carrion Spike had sustained heavy damage before a last-ditch retreat to hyperspace. The rumor mill had it that Rancid's assignment, some called it a promotion, was an indication of the Emperor's disappointment with Tarkin. But Vader had assured Tarkin that the Emperor was merely trying to free him from having to wear too many hats. Tarkin was to leave the chase to others for the time being and devote himself instead to ascertaining the dissident's ultimate objective. And so he was. When stalking game on the plateau, Jova would tell him that a careful study of prints on a trail could reveal not only the species of animal that had left them, but also the animal's intentions. With a flourish of input at the holotable's keypad, Tarkin created an open field above the table and instructed the computer to render his voice into lines of text and place them in order in the field. Then he turned slightly in the direction of the nearest audio pickup. Access to confiscated warship modules, separatist weapons, and holonet interruptors, either through salvagers, crime syndicates, or other sources, he began. The ability to make use of purchased or pirated separatist technology. The ability to transmit real-time holovids through the holonet. And the ability to create and transmit counterfeit holovids by accessing public holonet archives and other media sources. Knowledge of the existence of Rampart and Sentinel bases. Knowledge of Lieutenant Thorne's assignment to Rampart Base. Knowledge of the existence of the Carrion Spike, and familiarity with her sophisticated systems. A crew of spacers conversant with Imperial procedures and with a knowledge of Imperial facilities. Possible assistance from Imperial assets with high clearance. One by one, the lines of text appeared in the field, and Tarkin studied them for a long moment, his elbow planted on his raised left knee and his chin cupped in his hand. Vader's interrogation of the Reticent's crew members hadn't resulted in anything more than heart failure for the freighter's Cymerthian navigator. However, as a recompense of sorts, the Dark Lord had received a significant piece of information from one of his sources inside the Crimora. A lieutenant in the crime syndicate claimed to have negotiated a deal with Faza, the Sugi smuggler on Mercana, for a supply of custom fuel cells, which had been shipped to the planet shortly before Tarkin and Vader's arrival. This, in itself, wasn't entirely surprising. considering that the carrion spike's stop at the Findar fuel tanker was evidence enough that the dissidents had added fuel to the ship before absconding with her. What was surprising was that the deal for the fuel cells had been arranged through an agent on Lantilles, whom Tarkin suspected was the same human the captain of the Reticent had named as their broker. Knots. Tarkin instructed the Holonet database to launch a search for Knots, and in moments the hologram of a silver-haired human with a deeply lined face was rotating in place above the projector. Knots had a world-weary look Tarkin associated with veteran soldiers who had seen more than their share of tragedy. Extracting the holo image, he saved it off to one side of the table and regarded it in silence while machines hummed, chirped, and beeped around him. What he read in the concise précis accompanying the holo image supported the fact that Knots had resided on Lantilles for some 15 years. Digging a bit deeper, Tarkin was able to retrieve Knots's documents of incorporation, his Republic and Imperial tax records, court proceedings of his divorce agreement, even images of the modest apartment he owned on Lantilles. Native to the core, he had relocated to the Outer Rim and established himself as a middleman, bringing clients in want of goods or services together with groups of freelance spacers who could fulfill those needs. He was something of a dispatcher and an agent, taking what struck Tarkin as a fair credit percentage on each transaction. The eyes-only Coruscant databases, which Tarkin hadn't had reason to access since his days as Adjutant General of the Republic Navy, provided a more complete and compelling portrait of Knots. Yes, for 50